الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا وعن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا ورزقه من حيث لا يحتسب صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, honorable and respected Mu'atakifin, all the brothers that are here, mothers and sisters in Islam that are listening to our program, and all the people that are listening to our program through live streaming and the different airwaves. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In Surah Ma'idah, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Relate to the people, recite before the people the incident, the information of the two sons of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. In the beginning stages of this world, in order to establish mankind, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala permitted a brother to get married to his sister. But the sister from a different birth, not of the same birth. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had two sons, Qabil and Habil. Qabil had to marry Habil's sister, and Habil had to marry Qabil's sister. Qabil was not agreeable to this. He felt that Habil's sister is not as pretty as my own sister, so I should marry my own sister. There was a dispute regarding marrying a woman. So matter that was taken to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, tell both of your sons to present a qurbani, to present a sacrifice. Put it onto the mountain, and whoever sacrifice is accepted, that person is on the haqq, that person is on the truth. Isqarraba qurbanan fatuqubbila min ahadihima walam yutaqabbal min al-akhar. Both the sons presented the qurbani. The sacrifice of Habil was accepted and the sacrifice of Qabil was rejected. Habil was correct. He had to marry Qabil's sister, and Qabil was incorrect. He could not marry his own sister. Because of this, Qabil was very angry, very upset. He lost the case. And now he intended to assault his brother. He wanted to hit his brother, Habil. So Habil told to him
لئن بسطت إلي يدك لتقتلني ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك.
Oh my brother, if you spreading your hands to hit me, to assault me, I'm not going to do that. You doing something wrong, it doesn't mean I must do something wrong.
You would return with my sin and you return with your sin.
إني أخاف الله رب العالمين.
I fear my Allah who is رب العالمين.
But Qabil was in a state of rage, anger, following his nafs and his desire.
فَتَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ.
He followed his nafs and his desire and he killed his brother Habil.
This was the first murder that took place on the face of this earth.
Allama Alusi rahmatullahi, a great commentator of the Quran, under the tafsir of this particular verse with the authority of Zahaq, another great commentator of the Quran, he mentions when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created the world, water was not bitter. There was no such thing as bitter water. Every tree had fruits, there was no thorns in any tree. And the animals of the animal kingdom, they would live harmoniously with each other. A wolf will not attack a sheep. That was in the beginning stages of this world. But when Qabil killed his brother, he committed this sin, then that incurred the wrath and the anger of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala deprived the world of his rahmat and his mercy.
Water now became, there was, water became bitter.
Trees had thorns in it. And in the animal kingdom, now a wolf would attack a sheep.
Brothers, this is the natural consequence of committing guna, committing sins.
When a person commits sins, it incurs the wrath and the anger of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and people are then deprived of the ni'mat and the bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
And this is what Allah says us in the Quran Kareem. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرُ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ.
Corruption has become widespread on the land and in the oceans because of what man has earned.
We commit sins and because of that, then there's corruption on earth, there's corruption in the oceans.
And sometimes this corruption, it is on a wide scale. And the person that commits sins, he himself is also deprived of the ni'mat and the bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned,
إِنَّ الْعَبْدُ لَيُحْرَمْ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ بِذَنْبٍ يُصِيبُهُ.
Allah blesses a person with rizq, with sustenance.
He takes this to be a bounty granted.
He then considers it to be a great bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
Sometimes he thinks that I'm working hard and because of that I've got this income. I've become rich and wealthy because of my hard work.
He does not realize that behind the scenes it is a decree of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
And being unmindful of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he commits guna, he commits sins.
Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, because of the guna and the sins, sometimes he is deprived of rozi and sustenance from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
Many years ago, whilst I was at the Jamiat, one very rich, wealthy person, he was known to be a rich, wealthy person, he contacted me.
He said, Mufti Sahab, I want to meet up with you.
I had some time at hand, so I gave him time.
He was sitting across me in the boardroom of the Jamiat.
I looked at him and I asked him, what brings you here?
And why did you need an appointment?
He told to me, Mufti Sahab, you know, and everybody in the community knows what a rich, wealthy person I was. I had so much of wealth, I never thought my wealth will get finished in my lifetime.
But I kept on hearing from the ulama
that even a person commits zina, when a person commits guna and sins, then Allah takes the wealth away from him.
And I kept on thinking to myself, how does this make sense?
I've got this bank balance, I've got that bank balance. I've got this property, I've got that property. I've got this investment scheme and that investment scheme.
I am well secured, not only for myself, even for my generation to come. And I carried on committing wrong sins, committing zina. And here am I today, sitting in front of you, before coming over to you, I had 75 cents in my pocket. In those days, they had that olden type of phones where you put the coins inside to speak. So I had 75 cents, I put that and I phoned up to make an appointment to come and meet up with you. Most respected elders and friends, this is the consequence of guna, consequences of sins. Allah deprives us of the ni'mat and the bounties. When we enjoy any ni'mat and bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, don't take it for granted. It is a bounty. Look after it. Be more obedient to Allah. Thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for it. At the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Cyprus was conquered. It was a happy occasion. A country has come in the control and the management of the Muslim Ummah. Happy occasion. But here there is one Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, is crying and is weeping. So somebody asked Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, why are you crying? We have conquered the land. It's gone under our control and management. It's a happy occasion. We're supposed to be celebrating, thanking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for this. What's the occasion of crying? So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala made a very profound statement and something for you and I to think. He said, Cyprus has been conquered, but it is conquered by those people. The people that were living in the land, they have been conquered, they have been defeated. Not so long ago, they were controlling the land. The land has been now conquered because they were violating the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah deprived them of that land. Now that we are in charge of the land is under our control. Do we have guarantee that we will obey Allah and we will not disobey Allah, that the land that has been taken away from someone else will be then taken away from us as well? When a person commits sins, this is what happens. Allah deprives, Allah takes away the ni'mat and bounty that Allah gives the person. It was the habit of the Sahaba. When, as human beings, they would commit sins, unintentionally they would commit sins, but the outstanding quality of the Sahaba is that whenever they used to commit sin, they realized they're wrong, they would feel uneasy. And they would do whatever it takes to correct themselves and to repair the situation. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, the condition of a mu'min is such, a person that is conscious of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When he commits a sin, then that sin is like a mountain on his head. You lose your sleep. You lose your food. You can't eat. You're not at ease. You want to turn, you want to change your situation and get in, be in peace with Almighty Allah again. One Sahabi, he came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, O Prophet of Allah, cleanse me, purify me. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what's the matter, what happened? He was a Sahabi that used to go and sell khajur dates in the morning. Say, O Prophet of Allah, in the morning I left home to sell some khajur and dates, and I came to a certain place where the client or the customer was a woman. And in transacting with her, then I trespassed the limits, I trespassed the boundaries, and I took a kiss from her. I did something that was wrong. He did what he did as a man. He made a mistake. But he did not leave it like that. He didn't just go in the house and quietly sit and thought that it will come right. He was uneasy. It was like a mountain on his head. He comes to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he complains to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, begs, pleads Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, purify me, cleanse me, I'm feeling uneasy. I violated the haq and the right of Allah. I committed a wrong. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just left him there. It was probably Zuhr Salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Zuhar Salah. That Sahabi also joined in the Zuhar Salah. Then after the Salah, the Sahabi comes again to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Prophet of Allah, cleanse me, purify me. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, did you not just perform Salah? You perform Salah? And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُزْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. When a person does good deeds, one is that you do wrong, and you don't follow it up with a good. But one is that you do wrong, and you follow it up with a good. Then with the barakat of doing that good deed, that sinful act, that wrong deed, then it's wiped out. Yes, of course, when it comes to major sins, as a principle, you're supposed to be making tawbah. Minor sins with good deeds, then the minor sins are also forgiven. And I normally advise the people, especially when you do these kind of ahadiths, when it comes to minor sins, any good deed, do it with the intention of tawbah as well. Minor sins will be forgiven, major sins will also be forgiven. So this sahabi, see the consciousness in the sahabi. He was concerned, he was worried. He asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cleanse me, purify me. And that is the spirit of a mu'min. Allah consciousness. It bothers us. We lose our sleep. We feel uneasy. We just want to straighten our record with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says when a person commits guna, when a person commits a sin, then there's four harms to him. Now if a person is especially persistent in sin, completely ghafil, unmindful of his duty to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, addicted in sins, soaked in sins, that's where he gets his enjoyment. Over a period of time, there's a darkness that comes on his face. The darkness refers to a spiritual darkness. Otherwise, somebody is saying complexion, so you say that how does he bear the white person becomes black? It's not that. It can be any person, it can be a good looking person, but you can see that spiritual darkness on his face because of committing guna. Second, that person is deprived of barakah from the side of Allah. We violate Allah, you break the laws of Allah, how do you expect Allah to be happy and keep on blessing the person? Third, the person, he loses his physical strength. Certain gunas are such also that it takes your energy away. And fourth is that over a period of time, people will dislike him. You'll see, when a person, especially among the salihin, pious people, somebody is committing sins all the time, then he does not gel with the salihin. They don't like him. Not that it's deliberate, but naturally, you want to associate yourself with naked and pious people. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, that when a person, he stayed away from guna, stayed away from sin, do acts of virtue, Allah blesses him with four things. Firstly, there's a spiritual light on his face. And Allah refers to a sahaba also in the Quran al-Kareem. Simahum fi wujuhihim. So obedient to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah consciousness, you can make out the truthfulness, the loyalty to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from the effulgence of the faces. Second, Allah blesses the person. Ni'mas and bounties. That this doesn't mean a big bank balance, but whatever little you have, you're happy, you're content, there's barakah in that. Third, physical strength. And fourth, then the nek, pious people, the salihin, they will also like you. Most respected elder and friends, Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, استغفروا ربكم. استغفروا ربكم. Seek forgiveness from your Rabb. We all of us are human beings. We err. We make mistakes. The fact that we are human beings means that we will err. So no one is free from guna. Only the anbiya, they are ma'asoom, they are free from sins. Yes, pious people, they are mahfooz. They are safe from sin. But there's a possibility they could also err. So generally, every one of us, we err in some way or the other. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is Rahman. Allah is Rahim. Allah is Kareem. We have such an Allah that Allah himself tells to us, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not be despondent of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. Allah himself tells us, come to me, come to me. Never mind you violated me, but come to me, I will forgive you. And this is what Allah says in the Quran Kareem, Istaghfiru Rabbakum. Seek forgiveness from your Rabb. Innahu kana ghaffara. Most definitely Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is most forgiving. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Man lazim al istighfar. That person who holds firm to istighfar, he commits a wrong, but at the same time he repents. Make istighfar. He regrets the wrong that he has done and turns to Allah ta'ala, Allah, I did this wrong, make me maaf. He doesn't just ignore the guna that he has made. He turns to Allah with the correct situation. And if he's true, sincere in the repentance to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three benefits for that. That جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِن كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. When a person goes through some challenging situations in life, sometimes Allah puts a person in a challenging situation because of the guna you put committed. Now that you make istighfar, it's an atonement for it. And then this istighfar, it becomes a solution. It becomes an opening from the difficult and hardship that a person goes through. Second, وَمِن كُلِّ هَمِّن فَرَجًا. How often this zamana that we are going through, every second person is complaining of grief and depression. Somebody is going to a doctor, going to a psychologist, going to a psychiatrist, and then medication is prescribed to a person. They term it as medical imbalance or a chemical imbalance in the brain. And the person, because of grief and depression, is taking antidepressants. Sometimes it is because of our guna that depression comes in a person. That grief comes into a person. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that by making istighfar, Allah removes that grief. By making istighfar, Allah will give the person rizq, sustenance. Sometimes we go to financial related problems. Sometimes we having difficulty when it comes to our rozi. Make tawbah, make istighfar with the barakat of that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, Allah will give you rizq from avenues that you never even thought about. So respected elders and friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encouraged us. Nabi himself told to us that Wallah inni la astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi akthar min 70 marra. More than 70 times a day I make istighfar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is masoom, never commits sins, but he does it to be an example for the ummah. This is a habit we should try to inculcate. It is a month of Ramadan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Ameen to the dua of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Destruction, disaster be upon that person when the month of Ramadan comes and it passes by and the person is not forgiven. So much of rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala descend. How can it be that our sins are not forgiven? Hadha Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri sahab, madda zilluhu, he says there was one amil, the person who, if somebody goes to some kind of like black magic, jinn, etc., you go to an amil. Very pious person, the people used to refer to him. So that person told to Mufti Ahmad Sahib himself that when people come to me and tell me about their problem, I think I got black magic, or I think I got a jinn, or whatever it is. So this person, a wise person, he would treat the person, but he would tell the person, go away every day, go make 100 times istighfar and come and see me after 1 month or 2 months. So the Amil told to Mufti Ahmad Sahab, from my tajraba and from my experience, that whenever I send somebody to go make tawbah and istighfar and then they come back, whatever problems they were experiencing in between, it all got removed and it got finished. The reason to that is sometimes we think that it is black magic. Sometimes we think it's a jinn. Meanwhile, it is a negative consequence of the guna that we commit. And we make istighfar, Allah removes it. But brothers, one condition for tawbah. One condition for istighfar. And that is, we need to change our life. Sometimes we are addicted in certain guna, certain sins. We fight to come out of it. Because we know that what's a challenge. And it is indeed a challenge. If you are in a particular sin, if a person addicted in zina, a person addicted in drugs, a person is addicted in theft, various type of sins, now to come out of that, indeed is a challenge because your nature got used to it. But how do you come out of it?
If we want our tawbah and istighfar to be accepted, we have to change and we need to have the courage to get out of it. And a simple example of it is, one person, he's in a dump yard. It's full of muck and dirt. He tells somebody, take some buckets of water and pour onto me. Now he can pour tens of buckets on him. Pure, clean water, but he's still in the dump yard, he's still going to be dirty. But then when the person comes out of the dump yard, and now you don't need 10 buckets of water, half a bucket of water is sufficient to cleanse him and purify him. We need to come out from the dump yard of guna. We need to come out from the dump yard of our sins, and then one time istighfar, a slight istighfar, turning to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is sufficient for our gunas to get maaf. Allah grant us all tawfiq and hidayat to make istighfar. Brothers, it's an odd night. It's a month of Ramadan. Also, it's a Thursday night, actually a Friday. And what doubt can we have of Allah's rahmat now being in full force? Now is the time. Now is the time, you know, see, in business terms, cash it. So let's cash it right now. Let's turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Make that intention that Allah, I want to change. I'm making tawbah. I want to make istighfar. And remember, when we make istighfar, it is not only verbalizing it. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Somebody will, on one hand, he'll have the tasbih, and the other hand, he'll punt and he'll do gambling. So he's playing the machine, and then he got the tasbih on the other hand. It doesn't work like that. Yet, you got to make tawbah and istighfar. Stay away from the guna completely. And make istighfar. It's not only verbalizing it, from your heart you make intention. I want to change Allah. I want to become a loyal servant. I want to become among the saliheen. I want to become among the pious people. And brothers, whilst we make istighfar for ourselves, make istighfar for all the deceased as well. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, when people pass away, they're in the qabr, and they are actually like desperate. Somebody from the family must send something for me. They must send something for me. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem has mentioned, Hadiyatul Ahya ilal Amwat al Istighfaru lahum. The hadiyah, the gift of the living people for the dead people is istighfar. One person is in a qabr, and suddenly his status is elevated. So the person asks Allah, Allah, how my status got elevated? What happened? So Allah said, you left behind a son, you left behind a child, and he was making istighfar for you. Because of that, I've elevated their status. Make istighfar for ourselves. Make istighfar for our deceased. Make istighfar for the entire ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And make a firm intention to change our lives. Make islah. Get closer to Allah. One is the enjoyment of guna. That's not enjoyment. That is bitterness. And one is the enjoyment of taqwa. We tasted the enjoyment of guna, now turn from there and taste the enjoyment of taqwa. Indeed, that enjoyment, that sweetness in taqwa is far sweeter than the enjoyment that a person gets in guna and sins. Allah grant every one of us tawfiq. Brothers, now we'll be making the zikr again. Very Mubarak night. And it's a night for us to turn to Allah. Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. With the zikr of Allah, we get satisfaction in the heart. By popping a drug, you don't get satisfaction. By throwing a lustful glance, you don't get satisfaction. You're actually wounding yourself more. By committing the various sins, is a temporary enjoyment with long-lasting consequences. But real wholesome enjoyment is in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of the sky and the earth, alternating of the day and the night, there's signs, manifestation of the qudrat of Allah for intelligent people. Then Allah says, who the intelligent ones are? أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. They make the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in every posture, standing, sitting, lying down, they make the zikr of Allah. One Sahabi, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, Inna sharaya al-Islam qad kathurat. The laws of Sharia are too many. Too many laws of the Sharia. Tell me something very brief and comprehensive that astannu bihi. So I may hold firm to that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him one thing. You do one thing, you'll be practicing on all angles of Sharia. لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. May your tongue remain moist in the zikr of Allah all the time. One is that we make zikr here, collective zikr. When you go back in your homes also, sitting in the car makes zikr. When you, in your business places, that whenever you think, in your heart and mind, make zikr. Attach, connect yourself to Allah. Allah created our heart to give our heart to Allah. Our heart has not been created to give it to ghayrullah. And it's like a fish out of the water. It can't swim. The fish has to be in water. So Allah created that heart for us to attach ourselves to Allah. Then only we'll get sukoon and peace. Allah grant every one of us tawfiq and hidayat to engage in the zikr of Allah. Learn the adat, the habit of zikr. And wherever there's zikr gatherings, come and join. Every morning here after Fajr in Masjid Salihin in the back, there's zikr taking place. Or wherever there's ulama having zikr gatherings, go and join the zikr majlis. Inculcate the habit of zikr in your homes. Create the mahol environment of zikr. Now, noor, barakat will come in our homes. Allah grant us tawfiq, inshallah. Recite 3 times, Qul huwallahu.